you, church. Thank you, everybody. Hey, let's remain standing for a second, and let's welcome and continue to applaud Janelle as she comes back to a stage, and Esther Edgerton. These two people were both baptized. Let's give these guys a round of applause. We didn't have baptism certificates for you last week because it was a bit last minute, these two getting baptized. But just real quickly, why did you get baptized last week, Janelle?
So basically, I've kind of been climbing this mountain for the past month or so, and I've really been struggling with holding on to the freedom that God has given, that God provides. And I really felt like finally gone over that mountain and gone over that massive hurdle, and I really just needed to declare that in Jesus' name, that I'm free from guilt and I'm free from shame and I'm no longer a slave. And I just felt so much joy in that.
And you want to say anything about why you were baptized last week? Up to you. Got you on the spot. We love Esther. She's awesome. And actually, one of the highlights of last Sunday was Pastor Dave taking a photo of Esther and her dad just hugging after coming out of the water of baptism, and just seeing family then gather around and pray for her. We're so proud of both of you two, and we're so excited to have you as part of our family. But, at the same time, here's a certificate of baptism so you can remember that day you were baptized and you know, put it in your CV, when you go for that job. Yep, baptism, birthdays. How about we stretch out our hands and we're going to pray for these two amazing young women. Oh, come closer, Emily. Come over, Katie. You can come over. Lord, we just thank you for these amazing young ladies, Lord. We thank you for the call of God on their lives. And we just ask in Jesus' mighty name, that affirmation that Jesus received from his Father in heaven when he was baptized, saying, "This is my Son whom I'm well pleased with." It wasn't on the back of what he had done up to that point. It was just who he was in his relationship with you. So God, we just ask that as these two just a week later step forward from that moment of baptism, that affirmation that you have for them, God, would just continue to walk with them in this coming season and the seasons to come. They wouldn't find security in the things of this world, for that they shake, they fall beneath us. But God, we thank you that you never fail us. You are faithful and we can trust your promises. So Lord, we just ask in Jesus' mighty name that affirmation would continue to keep them secure, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. Let's give them one more round of applause and feel free to take a seat. Grab a seat somewhere. Emily, how is your sunburn going? Ah! Oh, are you? Okay. Well, yeah, maybe there was someone else praying for a wicked tan for you. This morning, we actually prayed for Emily's sunburn. I just thought, look, it says that we can, lay hands on the sick and they were recovered, by his stripes we're healed. So I was like, well, sunburns are burnt. Let's see if God does the miraculous and brings some healing to that sunburn. Hey, I'm going to come down here. Is that all right? I just feel like coming and joining, coming a bit closer. So this morning I preached a message that we titled Dead Nan's Clothes. Now, for those people that weren't here this morning, I'll give you a quick little 2-minute, maybe a minute 30 summary, just so you know what page we're on as we continue on. Because tonight I want to move on, because a whole bunch of people took off a bunch of stuff this morning, but I don't want people to run around the rest of this week spiritually not clothed. So I want to give you something to put on. Is that okay? Is that okay? So this morning we talked about dead man's clothes, and the things that we looked at was from the story of Lazarus. That Lazarus experienced the greatest miracle of his life, which was being given life again. He was dead for 4 days. And then they broke the law by rolling the stone away and actually opening up a tomb, where in that culture, in Jewish culture, if you did that, that's like you do not do that. That's ceremonially unclean. You don't do that sort of stuff. So he shifted the stone away and spoke out, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus came out. But the thing is, even though he had just experienced the greatest miracle of his life, which was going from dead in sin to becoming a new creation in Christ, he was still bound up. He still had some stuff wrapped around his feet. Still had stuff wrapped around his hands. Still had his head covered. And in the same way, I talked about how, bound up feet can sometimes represent the past we've come from. Because when most of us here use feet to walk. You know, Asher likes to crawl at times. But most of us will use our legs to walk places. But sometimes we make mistakes on the journey. Has anyone been there? Made a few stuff ups on the way. But God doesn't want us to remain bound by that old past experience, by that stuff up. He wants us to step into the future that he has for us. Bound hands. You know, what do hands represent? Work. Yep, work and ability. What we do and the ability to be able to do it. But sometimes we can find ourselves doing things we probably should not be doing. Anyone ever found themselves doing that? And then going, why am I doing this? I know I shouldn't be doing this, but I'm doing it again. So I was talking about unbinding our hands and then recognizing that God actually has good works that he prepared for us in advance to do. So he doesn't want us to have idle hands. He wants us to get busy doing the thing that he'd called us to do, which is build the kingdom. And the third thing we looked at was the headcloth. That even though he had experienced the greatest miracle of his life, coming from being dead to alive in Christ, he still couldn't see. Because the remnants of his old life actually blocked his view of the future that God had for him. The only reason why he was wearing that headcloth is because he was dead. But that old life was gone, and now he was called to live in his new life. And we found out that in his new life, even just being alive and eating food and hanging out was actually seeing people come to faith because they were blown away that Lazarus was alive. That is the life that we're called to live. We're called to live lives of such influence that people go, the people around us start to believe in God just because we're there. Like Lazarus, alive because of the work that Christ had done in him. So I talked about taking off these things. But tonight, I hope you're ready to put something new on. Because tonight I want to talk about royalty's robes. Royalty's robes. And Janelle was actually touching on it when she was encouraging us with her service leading today. How we're a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Do you know a royal priesthood has an attire? You know, they have a certain sort of get-up. Probably not a Stussy shirt. Probably white jeans and white shoes, like I was wearing this morning. I chose to go all black tonight instead. But I want to talk about the attire that God has prepared for us to put on in place of the old life that we've put aside. Because if we don't put on the new, here's the news. We'll probably end up putting on the old because it's there. It's actually a choice to actually choose to change. It doesn't just happen accidentally. When I was growing up, I didn't just accidentally change clothes when I got dirty. It was a choice to change. And generally, that choice was my mum's choice. But before we go there, let's pray. God, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to gather around your word here tonight. We thank you that your word is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. That it's good to help bring us into godliness and correct us where we're going wrong. And we ask, Jesus, that your word would do just that. That it would help bring us into alignment with the call of God that is on our lives collectively and individually here as the Church of Hobart. We thank you so much that you are ministering, you are moving, and we want to move with you, God. We don't want to just move in our own strength, but we want to be moving by the leading of the Holy Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, have your way. Lead us, direct us, move in this place. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen. Like I said, anyone who gets change, it's one thing to take something off, but then it's another thing to put something on. When I was growing up, I remember playing sports. Do we have any young people that play sports here? Yeah, Peter Swift's a young person that plays sports. I love it, man. That's boldness. I used to play soccer. And for those parents in the room, has any parents actually gone to like those soccer games where it's like 0 degrees? It is like that thick with mud and water. And you're just like, why on earth are we even here? It's 7 a.m. in the morning. Like, this is a ludicrous hour for children to be playing. It's like snow on the ground. You know, I remember playing this game when I was in, like, grade six. And it was so muddy that you'd try to kick the ball and it would just, like, roll, like, a meter and then just stop again. It was probably more like just melee combat than it was an actual soccer game. We were just getting in there, slide tackling, just bumping people into the mud. And just by halftime, you could have been, you could have thought we were mud people. There was that much mud and dirt on everyone that was there. Now, I remember after that game going home, and who knows that once you get muddy, like the greatest and most glorious thing you can ever do is have a hot shower. Yeah? Yeah? Okay, sweet. So I remember going home, getting into the bathroom, taking off all my clothes, jumping in there, having a hot shower, and then all of a sudden it dawned on me, Daniel, you hadn't gone to your bedroom to get a new set of clothes to put on. So this then brought me to the position where I'm like, okay, how am I going to do this? Because like the bathroom was at one end of the house, my bedroom was at the other end. Got family, got my brother, you know what older brothers are like. And I was like, okay, how are we going to do this? And I then snuck from the bathroom to the bedroom because I wasn't prepared to change. And I honestly believe that sometimes we can approach what God has for us with that same creeping mentality. That we're sort of feeling like, I'll just sneak in and try to put on the new, and I'll just sneak in and because I'm not really sure how it's going to work. But I want to encourage you that in Colossians 3:10, we're encouraged to put on a new nature and to be renewed as we learn to know our Creator and become like Him. In Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, as we heard earlier, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. See, we don't need to sneak in to obtain what Christ has for us to put on. In Christ, we can be confident to go to Him and put on that new nature. It's not something we have to sneak in and go, oh, God, I sort of don't feel like I'm worthy for this. Because in Christ, we're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. So tonight, I want to talk about putting on royalty's robes. And I'm going to share with you a story. It's a parable that Jesus shared. And this parable, in a lot of ways, it's more about God's heart for every single individual. But I honestly believe that when I was reading this, God identified some things to me from this parable that we can implement into our everyday life and the way that we live and the call of God that is on our lives. So this is one that you'll all know. Well, I imagine almost everyone here will know. The parable of the lost son. It says in Luke 15:11 onwards, to illustrate the point further, Jesus told them a story. A man who had two sons. The younger son told him, hey, father, I want a share of my estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed up all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money on wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. He persuaded local farmers to hire him, and the man sent him into the fields to feed pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods that he was feeding to the pigs looked good to him. But no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even hired servants have enough food to spare. And here I am, dying of hunger. I'll go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. So please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. And filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him and kissed him. He said to him, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you. I'm no longer to even be called your son. But his father said to the servants, hey, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. Kill the calf that we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for a son of mine, which was dead, has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party began. The party began. And in the same way that this morning I was sharing about how Lazarus went from being dead to alive, we've all of a sudden got a mirroring where this father is saying, my son was dead, but now he's alive. And when this son arrived to his father's house, he wasn't greeted with contempt. He wasn't greeted with disgust. He was greeted with love, tremendous love. And that is the heart of our Father. His heart for us is love. So it doesn't matter how we return to him, what we've got on when we get back to that door, the heart of our God is, this is my son who I love. This is my daughter whom I love. And we see that the nature of God in this is to actually restore and to bless abundantly even when we don't deserve it. See, the things that we draw out, or the things that jumped out, I should say, to me from this parable that I thought we could mirror towards what God wants to give us, or the attire that God wants us to put on. Once we've taken off that other stuff to put on some new things, we see it in the part where the father then says, hey, I've got some things that we're going to put on this new son. Number one, we're going to put on the finest robe. We're going to clothe him with something different. Number two, we're going to put a ring on his finger. Number three, we're going to put sandals on his feet. And number four, we're going to kill the calf. So we're going to look at these four different things in the remaining time we have. And I honestly hope and pray that from what we look at in the scripture here, that if God highlights to you to put on something, put it on. You don't have to try to sneak down the hallway like a 12-year-old Dan covered in mud. You can go boldly to that place because he loves you that much. Number one, put on the finest robe. Who likes putting on new clothes? Yeah, I came over this way. I saw Katie sitting over. I knew I'd get like a, yes, new clothes sort of look from this side of the room. I'm sure this side of the room loves new clothes as well. But yesterday I bought a brand new suit. And it's going to be my birthday suit for my 30th birthday, man. It's coming up. So I thought, you know what? It's half price at the moment at, what was it? YD? I don't know. What's the one opposite McDonald's in the Cat and Fiddle? Roger David. I think it was Roger David. Yeah, they're all half price. I don't know why. It just drew me in. Anyway, I saw that it was half price suits and I thought to myself, you know what? 30th birthday is coming up. I've got to look the part. I've also got some weddings coming up where I'm going to be doing the celebrant role for. And I thought, you know what? I want to get a new suit. But you know, when you have like, for men, when you put on like a really good new suit, it's like you walk like 2 inches taller. It's just like, yep. Yep. You just feel good. Like there's something about it. I'm sure women have like a similar feeling maybe. Maybe it's when you get like new shoes. I don't know. New heels and you're like, yeah, you're literally 2 inches taller. I honestly don't know how women do this. Like, I just walking like this, my calves are killing me already. So, you know, kudos to you. But it's amazing that when we get new clothing or what, boys and girls, we generally, when we wear it, we feel good and we exude like this extra confidence. Yeah? Yeah. But in the same way, God wants to put on us a new some new clothes, some new spiritual clothes, which in the same way that, you know, when we're rocking that suit or wearing those high heels, to exude that same confidence. And it's not confidence in our own ability, it's a confidence in his ability. Confidence in who he is, not in what we are. He's got new clothes for you. Turn to the person next to you and tell them, God's got something new for you. Something new for you. God wants to clothe you in a new robe. I was reading out of Isaiah 61:9, and this is an awesome, Isaiah 61 is an awesome chapter. It's a chapter where Jesus later in Luke 4 opens it up and starts it and reads the very first part of it and says, hey, look, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news, to open the eyes of the blind, to set captives free. But when you get further through this prophetic statement of Isaiah, he then says this from verse 9 onwards, their descendants will be recognized and honored among the nations. Everyone will realize they are a people the Lord has blessed. I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for he has dressed me with the clothing of salvation and draped me in a robe of righteousness. I am like a bridegroom dressed for his wedding, or a bride with her jewels. Come on. Getting a bit, you know, walking. That's how we, when we are dressed with what God has for us, it has that same ability as that nice navy blue pure wool suit that I purchased for my birthday suit. It gets you to, it just helps you walk with an air of confidence, because it's not our righteousness we're wearing, but it's his righteousness. We are clothed in his righteousness. He's draped me in a robe of righteousness. The sovereign Lord will show his justice to the nations of the world. Everyone will praise him. His righteousness will be like a garden in early spring with plants springing up everywhere. So in a greater way, or in the same way that new clothing in the physical gives us confidence, new clothing in the spiritual should breathe confidence in the way that we approach the world around us. We should approach those circumstances and situations with confidence, knowing that God is with us, that we're not doing it in our own strength, we're not doing it in our own ability, but he has clothed us. It's not our righteousness, it's his righteousness. It's not our ability, it's his ability. And when we shift the focus and recognize that he is with us and for us, it doesn't matter what circumstance, what situation, what problem, what obstacle is in your way. You are called to be a co-heir and conqueror with Christ, so you will overcome. You can overcome, and you should overcome, but will you overcome? You will overcome when you choose to walk in obedience and walk with him into that, trusting his leading. He's got new clothes for you, a robe of righteousness. Number two, put a ring on it. I hear all the, I hear a song. What is that song that I'm hearing? You're the voice. No, it's not. Why don't you should have put a ring on it? Anybody? Yeah, put a ring on it. And in this story, we find that this parable that Jesus taught those that were around him at that moment, he said that the father put a ring on his son. And it got me thinking about what is the importance of a ring in that sort of day and age. You know, a ring represented authority. A ring represented the authority of that family. And the family that father represented was the family of God, the ultimate authority out there. When we read a story earlier in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, we read another story about someone in a high place of authority giving someone else a ring. And this is a story of Joseph. Joseph, he'd had the ups, he'd had the lows, he had the awesome times, and he had some really, really dark times. And out of the place of where he was locked in prison for an extended period of time, not because of anything he had done, but because of a false accusation, he finds himself then going from the prison to the palace. And when he is faithful again, all of a sudden, it talks about how Pharaoh gave him fine linen, changed his attire. He couldn't wear the prison clothes in the palace. He then gave him a ring. And he also put on him a gold necklace, some bling. I don't know if they called it bling in those days, but they did. All right, fantastic. But they put a ring. He put a ring on him. And his ring was both a token of the highest dignity and an instrument of the greatest power, by which he had the authority to make and sign whatever decrees he thought fit in the king's name. See, Pharaoh took off his ring, which was both the highest dignity and an instrument of great power, and put it on Joseph's hand, therefore giving him authority to make and sign what decrees he thought fit was for the king. He made him ride in the second chariot so that he may be known to be next to the king in dignity and power. See, a signet ring, the official ring which the state documents would be sealed by, the king gave it to him, so symbolically transferred to Joseph absolute power. Absolute power. As decrees became law, when stamped with the royal signet, it was naturally the symbol of authority. And so with us at the formation of a ministry, the greatest seal is formally delivered into the hands of the highest legal personage in the realm, who is thus invested with power. And in the same way, we've actually been given a ring. When we come into relationship with God, he has given us the ring, the signet ring, that of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, Joseph had the influence and could make decrees on behalf of all of Egypt. We have been given a ring to put on, to actually take spiritual control, spiritual authority over powers and principalities, because we don't just battle against carnal things and the fleshly things, but we battle against powers in unseen realms, principalities in unseen realms. But Jesus has given you his ring. He's given you authority. He wants you to not just go, oh, I'm not sure about using the name of Jesus. No, he wants you to be confident. If you are his children, that he's clothed in the finest robes, he wants you to be then confident to walk with authority, to speak out against injustice, to declare healing over the hurting, to speak hope over those that are hopeless, to speak life over those that feel like they're dead. That is the authority that he's given each and every single one of us. Put a ring on it. Put your hand out and just be like, God, I receive this ring. I do. The next one, sorry, I don't know. Yeah, you can do that if you want. You don't have to do that. The next one that he did was he put sandals on. So in this story, he puts on fine robe, puts a ring on him, and then he gives him new sandals. And I talked about this morning how your past does not define you. Your failures don't make you a failure. Your mistakes don't make you a mistake. But we still have to put on new shoes. You know, I quite like new shoes. I probably have a few too many pairs of shoes at the moment. I'm sort of buying some. So these are pretty new. I think I've had these ones for about 3 weeks or 4 weeks. But I've now got about 5 or 6 pairs. Please pray for me. But I rotate through them because I figure that way they'll look new longer. I don't know, is that a good way of thinking, or am I sort of going down a dangerous path? Pray for me. But when you have new shoes, it's a bit like that confidence that you walk with when you've got the new robes on. Like, there's something about wearing new shoes. You sort of, like, we've already talked about it with the girls, about wearing high heels. It's like, yeah. You know, when you've got new Nikes on, you're just like, yeah, this is good. But they're comfy, they don't smell yet. There's something good about new shoes. And as I said, your past does not define you, but we do need to put on the new. We need to put on some new footwear. Not Nikes, not Adidas, not some other one. We need to put on these shoes. In Ephesians 6:15, it says, having strapped on your feet, this is in the Amplified version, the gospel of peace in preparation to face the enemy with firm-footed stability and the readiness produced by the good news. You know, the shoes that we need to put on is that of the gospel of peace. Everywhere we walk, recognizing that we are carriers of peace. They're positioned by God's direction to be ambassadors of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to bring reconciliation. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation to help bring peace from our sin to a place of receiving grace. And then in that divine transfer, helping people experience the ultimate peace, which is found in Christ. Knowing that we are secure, knowing that we are alive in him, and that old life, that old, under that old covenant, we are now under that covenant of grace instead, as we read in Romans 6. We have been given new shoes. And I want to encourage you to put on those new shoes. Sometimes we can keep old shoes on. They might be slightly comfy, but it's slightly smelly and not that good. And what I mean by that is sometimes we can be tempted just to put on the old life and walk in that instead. Just going through the motions. Just working for the paycheck. Just need to pay off my mortgage. Just living for a holiday. You know, there's nothing intrinsically bad with those things. I'm not encouraging you not to pay your mortgage debts. I'm not encouraging you not to go on holidays. But what I am encouraging you is if that is your whole life, you're probably missing the point. You've got a new set of shoes to put on. But we have to choose to put it on. And that's choosing to actually put on a readiness to stand for the gospel wherever we find ourselves. In our workplace, when someone starts talking about God, hey, all of a sudden being there to say, actually, I know Jesus. He's real. He's not just some religious icon. If you want to know him, I'd love to pray with you. Whether it's in our school, where everyone's saying, oh, I can't talk about it. Let me encourage you, if people are talking to you and saying, you know, what did you do on Sunday? Don't just be like, oh, yeah, not much. Say, I went to church and I worshipped God. You know, if someone asked you what you did on the weekend, you're allowed to say that. Seriously, they've asked you, what did you do? You shouldn't lie. You shouldn't say, oh, yeah, not much. That's actually lying. Just say what you actually did. Be open, be real. And when they say, oh, you believe in God, do you? Then you can say, yeah, I do. He's real. He loves me. I know this because the Bible tells me so. You know, you can even add that little melody to that if you really wanted to. It might be slightly weird to do that. Probably don't do that. But, you know, just be real. Talk about your faith. Live out the life of faith. Don't just keep it hidden in a box in your Sunday closet. Actually live it out. May the gospel of peace be on your feet every single day of the week. And number four, I'm going to invite the band up. Kill the calf. Calf, sorry, I mispronounced that. Kill the calf. Celebrate. You know, just trying to think what I'll say here. I'll read this passage of scripture first, and then I'll say it. Kill the calf, celebrate. In that same passage that we were reading just before in Isaiah 61, we're reading from around 9 onwards, and like I said at the very start, it talks about the Spirit of the Lord being on me. In verse 3, it says this. It says, to all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. Another version says, take off a spirit of heaviness and put on a garment of praise. And I think that should be something that should be a hallmark of believers. Praise, joy. Not necessarily because of the circumstances around us, because of what we've put on when we're in connection with Him. We have the supernatural divine ability to take off a spirit of heaviness and put on a garment of praise. When you come in contact with people, are they going, wow, that person's just, there's something about them. Like, I know there's some stuff going on, but there's this joy radiating from their life. It's like, you know, if we get biblical here for a second, it's like the joy of the Lord is their strength or something. The reality is we can't always control all the external things, but we can control the internal things. We do have the ability to take authority over those things because we have been given a robe of righteousness. We've been given a ring of authority. We've been given the gospel of peace. In other words, something to do and a direction to be moving in. And he wants us to take off that spirit of heaviness and put on a garment of praise. He wants to take our ashes and replace it with a crown of beauty. He doesn't want us to remain in that place of mourning. He wants to move us to a place of rejoicing. And that's something that we can do through the Holy Spirit at work through us. and I want to encourage you. We're going to sing a song of worship, and I want to encourage you, sing it with a spirit of joy. Sing it with passion. Like, I get passionate when my North Melbourne football team win. Honestly, I should be more passionate just getting to sing the praises of God, because He won the ultimate game, or the ultimate battle, which was the battle over sin and death. As we heard from Layla last week, some people get so excited going to a concert. It's Celine Dion. Said no one ever. It's a lie. There are Celine Dion fans out there, and she's actually pretty good. Beautiful singing voice. Sorry, Celine. If you're listening to this podcast during the week, I apologize profusely. You're an amazing singer. God bless you. But we can get so excited for musicians. Let's channel that and go, look, even though not everything in my world is perfect, I'm going to worship the one who is perfect. Even though not everything in my world is good, I'm going to worship the one who is good. Even though I might not feel like out of the overflow of me, my flesh is joy, I know that if I allow the Spirit of the Lord to dwell in me, the overflow of that is the joy of the Lord will be my strength. We need to take off the spirit of heaviness and put on a garment of praise. We need to kill the calf and celebrate. Let's rise to our feet. Let's jump to our feet and let me pray for you. God, I thank you so much that you have royal robes for every single one of us here, that you have chosen us. We're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And you don't want us to walk out of this place not wearing the things that you have given us through your grace to access, that we can access a robe of righteousness. We're not clean by just making ourselves look good. We're clean because of the finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ. And therefore, because we can access that, we can walk boldly into the throne room of grace. God, we thank you so much that you've given us authority. And in the same way that you gave Joseph authority over the nation of Egypt, you've given us authority from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You've given us a royal ring to put on. And we ask in Jesus' mighty name that we wouldn't just put that in the little bedside table, God, but instead we would put it on and walk in the boldness, walk in the authority, walk with dignity in the call of God that you have on us, God. Lord, we thank you so much that you want to put new shoes on us, a gospel of peace, so that we can walk out of here into our universities, into our colleges, into our schools, into our workplaces, into the communities we're a part of, into the families that we're a part of, and be a representative of Jesus Christ in that place, so that the world may know the goodness of our God and taste and see that you are good, Lord. And we pray that we would be people that would celebrate. We would be people that would rejoice. We would be people that we would just sing out for the glory of God. That our praise at a footy game wouldn't overshadow our praise in a church service. That our praise in just being excited for someone's 21st birthday wouldn't be greater than our praise that we have for the greatest victory that you accomplished. So, Lord, we thank you so much. And we choose to kill the calf and celebrate here tonight, God, because you are worthy of all our praise. In Jesus' name.